there's new use of physicality, rhythms. There's going to be a sort of LED wall that's going to be a new contribution, a big, huge piece of parachute material that will fly across the stage. So we've got a lot of great dancing and hopefully some great visuals as well.
Mr. Jackson, can you talk about, again for the first time, Mr. Hill mentioned LED screens, which I saw you used with Beyonce at the Super Bowl.
Yes, I did.
Are you doing something with that for this show?
Robert suggested I use it, and it allowed me to really dive into how you see emotions move, and I wanted to capture it in different objects on the screen so that emotionally you see it floating or dancing on the screen, and then you see the dancers dancing to it, and that they'll connect together as the audience is watching it.
Mr. Hill, what are some of the marketing and financial challenges of premiering a work instead of doing, say, another Swan Lake that you know will bring in the crowds?
Yeah, that's the ongoing question for pretty much all ballet companies. I think essentially you do the tried and true Swan Lakes and Nutcrackers so that you can afford to continue to experiment and do new things that typically don't draw the same large numbers of people. So I think that when you do your budgeting, you have to do it with that truth part of it, and you just work around it. I would like for the Orlando Ballet to get a it's on its way, but I want it to have the kind of reputation such that people will go and see whatever it is that they're doing, because it's always on a high level.
Mr. Jackson, when it comes to performance style and audience appeal, do you think artists of classical forms could learn something from their pop counterparts?
I definitely think so, especially hip-hop dancing is strongly influenced by classical and modern training. With my style, I'm very influenced by street dancing, which was my first style of dancing, and I use my training to bridge that so audience can relate to it when they see it as well.
And what do you make of that idea that if you say something is a contemporary work in the classical style, I mean, this happens in music, it sounds like it happens in ballet too, audiences are a little wary. But if you tell them that it's a pop performance, Beyonce, it's a sellout. So what is that difference between a classical style contemporary work and a pop style contemporary work?
Very good question. I think that it shouldn't be any labels,
right,
because it's just art. And we would love that everybody want to open themselves and experience to find and see new things and to see how far a choreographer can stretch a dancer and how a dancer can stretch the choreographer's vision in how they move. And yeah, we have to label things so we get different appeals, but we want everybody to love it because it's art and hard work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, certainly we both share a tradition of classical ballet. And so we both draw from that and then use that as our base, but then go really far as we can, and sometimes lose the classical vocabulary altogether and just move, you know. But that the day-to-day training, certainly with this company where I'm directing now, it's classical ballet training.
My last question is for both of you. Why should people risk their ticket money on Some Assembly Required instead of holding out for the next Nutcracker?
It's inspiring to see young choreographers create something and allow the dancers to move in a new and unique way to support the arts. And I think that's a good invitation if you want to be a better person, be a better city, to come and support that.
Yes, I love Swan Lake. I think Nutcracker is, you know, terrific. But it is our responsibility as artists to continue to explore and to keep the art form, although based in a traditional classical vocabulary, keep it relevant in today's world.
Mr. Jackson and Mr. Hill, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.